We are reading in Kabbalah for the student, Preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, in page 572 in the bottom. The Kabbalah for the student, page 572, item 16 in the bottom of the page. You can ask questions live through CAB TV. And selected questions will be aired throughout the lesson. So he gives us here an example about spiritual actions, which resemble the host and the guest, whereby the host come to the guest come to the host, his friend, and they are in good relations on the one hand. On the other hand, nevertheless, the guest feel as a guest. And when the host gives him the delicacies, serve him some food, and along with the delicacies, he feels himself as a receiver and the host as a host, because those truly is those definitions, as the guest and the host. In those definitions, that there's a gap in it. Although the host does it with all his heart and want to serve him and satiate him with all bounty, nevertheless, there's a gap between them, because there's a difference. It's not like a baby and his mom. It's not like two relatives whereby one doesn't even feel difference to the other, as they are, as one. As one man with one heart. Well, there's a gap. When there's a gap between people, this is how it evolves. Therefore, what is happening here? The guest feels shame, and he can do nothing against it. This shame is the manifestation of the gap between them. As there's a certain difference, certain gap between them. And what shall he do with it? But he feels that if he refuses, then he's no longer called a receiver. At least he's getting rid of the sensation of shame. And later on, once he, after many pleading by the host, starts receiving from him, then it seems to him that he is doing a favor to the host, because he has already exited the element of being a receiver, because he's no longer a receiver. Rather, the host pleads him and ask him to do him a favor, to receive. And he's no longer receiving. And therefore, if the host and the guest come to such relationships, then the guest uses the host's love towards him, that the host truly very much wanting to see him enjoying, then he can use the host intention and not to feel shame, on the contrary, to feel himself as a giver, and the host as a receiver. So we're seeing here that this relationship between the Creator and the creature, whereby the Creator always gives and the creature always receives, because this is nature. First was the Creator, and then he created the creature, and he is whole and benevolent, and the creature can only be as deficient, yeah? And along with it, if the Creator revealed to the creature his love towards him, and the creature is capable of using that love in order to receive all the bounty from the Creator, endless pleasures, to satiate himself endlessly. And by that, he wants to bestow back on the Creator. It turns out that both of them enjoying each other, whereby we are receiving all the bounty from the Creator and enjoy by him, and enjoying bestowing to him. And he received from us the pleasure that we feel from him, and bestow back on us, meaning he bestow and receive, and I bestow and receive, and then we're equal, and then we are in adherence. And this is the purpose of creation. Thus, if we will correct ourselves in such degree as the guest and the host who understand how can they use reciprocally this mutual love, whereby the Creator is the source of the pleasure, and I am the source of pleasure to Him, because He depends on me as I depend on Him. As a little baby can play around with his parents. He is the head of the family, because their love to him is basically raises him to be the governor, the one rules more than they rules over him. And this is what we learn, that the creation shrinks into that simple example that is understood by everyone, because every one of us can feel shame and felt it a few times in his life, and also in the manner we understand here, whereby you can transform shame and into honor and reception into bestowing. We have to do the same with the Creator. This is the game of our life and the whole wisdom of Kabbalah. Hence it is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, that we can transform reception into bestowal and shame into honor, and our corporeal life into eternal whole life. So from that same resemblance, let's see what he writes. Page 572, item 16, in the bottom. From the above allegory between two friends, we can understand the matter of Zivug Dehaka'ah and the Or Chozer that rises through it, which then becomes new vessels of reception for the upper light instead of Bechinah Dalet. We can compare the upper light which strikes the Masach and wants to expand into Bechinah Dalet to the pleading to eat. Because, what does he want to say? I'll draw, and later we see how he writes it. We'll match it to his words. He says the following. We spoke about guests and the host. Let's move from that to kind of a diagram. So there's a kli, a desire. Feels himself empty. He wants to receive. And there's pleasure. Comes from the host. Direct light, pleasure, or yashar in Hebrew. The guest rejects the pleasure. He refuses to receive it. It's like performing the first restriction, tzimtzum aleph in Hebrew. He doesn't want, although he really wants, but shame doesn't allow him. Once the host constantly pleading, and tell him, oh, come on, take it off me. Come on, do me a favor. It's not like you want or you don't want. Rather, even above your desire. Meaning the host doesn't turn to his shame. He turns to his desire. He says, well, even a little bit. Activate your desire. Then, through that, the host, the guest, accepting and considering how much can I receive from the host. Is my intention, yeah? What's the intention? To bestow on the host. Say, I check myself and I can take a little bit from each dish, a little bit, not everything, a little bit. And this is what I receive within, meaning I make a calculation. And after the calculation, I'm receiving. By receiving precisely according to the calculation and fulfilling my desire to a certain extent, this is my degree of bestowal towards the host. This is as bestowing to the host. This is truly bestowal. I haven't taken it to myself. I rejected it. I didn't want to receive. He pressured me. I made a calculation in order to do him a favor. I'm entirely out of being as a receiving, after all the rejections, or after being like clean, as if I've nothing towards these pleasures that are before me on that set table. Nothing. Yeah? After that, I make a calculation. How much I love him, how much he loves me, to what extent I do him a favor, how much he will enjoy by me. I feel his desire that he is suffering from loving me and being unable to express his love to me. How am I, in return, starting to activate his my love towards him, to truly connect to his deficiency? How do I care for providing him a certain pleasure? So I activate my love towards him, towards the host. I want to give him pleasure. After I have it clear, my attitude towards him, that I love him and I want to give him pleasure, I start awakening within me this appetite, the hunger that I sealed beforehand. And then I start to reveal, then what will I take from those pleasures in order to think only how to fulfill him? I need to enjoy, but I am entirely enjoying by feeling how through this action I'm in him and I fulfill him. You understand that there is a calculation here that I'm in the host. A calculation that I become as a mean, as a tool that fulfill him. And also my hunger, my appetite, the pleasures I'm feeling from the offerings, all that is in completely different meaning, different lights, different flavors I taste in it. That I reveal it not in my vessels, rather in his vessel, in the host's vessels. That he is the one I want to satiate with pleasure. Therefore it is called as bestowing to the host. Although I'm fulfilling myself, and according to those vessels that I received, according to those vessels I can say to what extent I satiated the host. I measure nevertheless within my desire, because this is what I have. However, this example is a very profound example. There's truly the whole of reality within it, all our connection with the Creator. First of all, the detachment, that I'm detached from the pleasure itself. First of all, I perform the condition of the first restriction. I do not want to receive. Now, afterwards, I feel pressure by the host. This is called bitush. He is pressuring me, or haka'ah, more precisely, striking. Later on, once he's pleading me and doesn't let me go, doesn't let me rest, I start to think, well, I understand that he's suffering. Then I start receiving his suffering as a deficiency. I have to do something about it. Then I start awakening me thoughts, desires. How can I fulfill his suffering, his need? And then I'm using myself as a mean. So I'm coming to this action whereby truly unified with him, both are receivers and both are givers. So all this depiction is basically what is happening. There's nothing further. We are saying later on the worlds and the Patsufim, angels, spirits, this world, the other world, doesn't matter what. All in all, this attitude is constant between the Creator, the light, and the vessel. There's nothing further. So let's first read what he writes, and then we will continue. So we in the second line, item in page 573. Because as he yearns for his friend to receive his meal, the upper light desires to spread to the receiver. And the masach, which strikes the light and repels it, can be resembled to the friend's rejection and refusal to receive the meal, since he rejects his favor. And just as you find here that it is precisely the rejection and refusal that become the proper vessel to receive his friend's meal, you can imagine that the O Chozer, which rises by the striking of the Masach and the rejection of the upper light, becomes the new vessels of reception for the upper light, instead of Bechina Daled, which served as the vessels of reception prior to the first restriction. However, this was placed only in the Patsufim, plural of Patsuf, of Kedusha, of holiness, of Abia, not in the Patsufim of the Klipot, of the shells, and in this world, where Bechinat Dalet herself is considered the vessels of reception. Hence, they are separated from the upper light, since disparity of form in Bechinat Dalet separates them. For this reason, the Klipot are considered wicked and dead, as they are separated from the light of lives by the will to receive within them. Meaning, we have the whole of reality, two options. One option is called in the spiritual dimension, whereby there is a desire to receive. This is necessarily the matter of the creature. And over him there is a screen, a masach, by which he can cope with his own desire, because he feels the host, he feels the light. It's not just like that in him there is just like that. This quality, it is a consequence of the sensation of the host. It is a consequence of the sensation of the shame. Remember where the screen comes from. As we learn, after the light, the upper light expands, after it created the desire to receive, afterwards it influenced the desire to receive with the sensation, and then the desire to receive, once feeling itself, it necessarily, because it hurts, because it cancels all the pleasure in him, and he feels shame, then he stops receiving in order to rid himself of that sensation. Then at least I'm not receiving. Meaning, the revelation of the Creator, the revelation of the light, brings the desire to receive, the sensation of shame, and brings the ability to receive, the ability to cope with the pleasure, and the ability to cope with his own ego. Rather, we must have the upper light to influence us. The moment we feel ourselves as the receivers and him as the giver, our same ego will not agree with it, as we do not agree with it in our world. We're lacking nothing but the revelation of the Creator as the giver. And then I'm instantly, straight away, will limit myself, restrict myself, and function properly. However, what is required of us? For me to want to be like that. That's it. So the upper light works on the desire and brings that desire the sensation of shame, and consequently there is a restriction, because the consequence of the desire to receive and the restriction, there is a screen. How can I, instead of being the receiver, become the bestower? And it turns out that all my attitude towards the light and the Creator, that there's nothing in desire, rather I and him. So there can only be two states. Either I'm working according to this order, what we have here in that diagram, I, and here is the Creator above me, yeah? And here is myself, the creature. In the relationship between us through the screen, to the extent we can balance between the one or the other. Either I'm the receiver and he's the giver, or I'm the giver and he's the receiver. As with the host, that we have certain understanding between us. Or the screen disappears. And the Creator is concealed. And I'm, as in our world, I just grab as much as I can, and everyone does whatever he feels like. You always have justification, we're the receiver, that's all right, everyone is like that. And so on and so forth. Meaning, there could also be such state called the worlds of separation, or Olamot de Puda. Separation meaning you do not feel the Creator. What is happening onwards from there? Whereby we're starting in these worlds, meaning in our world, to exist and feel bad, or feeling bad and worse and worse and worse. Then we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, and through the wisdom of Kabbalah, we invite the light to work on us, and we start feeling His qualities, that He is the bestower, and through that, we're starting to feel that it's worthwhile being as bestowing also, giving back. And gradually we're developing a screen. And the screen that gradually develops in us in such form brings us to use our desire. The screen revealed along with a desire. Greater screen with a greater desire. And so on until we come to that same unlimited vessel. This is the process. Yes. There's something in the article that is slightly confusing me. We know that there's a light and vessel. Here it says that the moment that the screen rejects the upper light, the returning light becomes a vessel. Meaning as if we acquiring additional kli. It's one kli keep receiving in the klipot, in the shells, as if Malchut, the fourth discernment. This is what is written further up, if I'm not wrong. Okay, so let's arrange things. The desire to receive is all of the creature's material. See, I wrote a desire. With Masach, without Masach, with klipot, with sanctity, it doesn't matter what you tell me. Desire is desire. This is the matter without which we cannot talk. A desire is what the light has created. And desire is the whole of the creature's matter. If there is no screen, masach, and the desire, is there a reciprocal vessel? And it's like in our world, we can receive without a screen, a tiny portion. Although, immediately, instantly, the light that satiates the desire, neutralizes the desire, and we feel empty, and we keep chasing pleasures, and again, our brother, pleasure, immediately the pleasure neutralizes the desire, and again I feel empty and so on, I need something in order to enjoy this life, and constantly we're in that chase, but the desire exists, a small desire. Nothing further can reveal to me, because the rest of the desires, but our desire is the sensation of the host. On the sensation of the host, I feel shame. There, instantly, I build screens. This is where we're coming to through the wisdom of Kabbalah. However, the desire, that's it. Later on, when I come to the sensation of the Creator, and through the sensation of shame, the feeling of shame, I build the screens. I'm also enjoying in that same desire. If I'm not enjoying in my desire by receiving from Him, so how can I give Him pleasure? When I come to the host without an appetite, then I'm not a guest and he's not the host. What does he have to give me if I'm full? If I came to him and I said, I just came from lunch, I'm completely full, can't eat anything, not even a cup of coffee, nothing. So what can we talk about? There's no connection between us. How can you connect? Rather, only through receiving and giving. Meaning I have to come to him with a deficiency precisely for the same pleasure he prepared for me with the same kli. And within the kli, there's precisely the same needs for what the light wants to give. It's like a print and imprint. So it's like, so either I'm using that deficiency to bestow on him, or in order to bestow myself. That's the only difference. But the deficiency, the desire is desire. Without deficiency, you see, according to deficiency, there are people who hardly want anything. What would you do with them? A great person is the one who wants to swallow the lot. Or rather later, when he is in despair, then he comes to this wisdom, how to saturate himself, the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yes. I'd like, please, to ask a question about a youth. Youth ages of 15, 16, they want to swallow the world. The desire to receive it in its highest. Well, nowadays it's not quite. Youth is in also in despair. Why are they going for drugs? Why are they turning to all those things? This is kind of a detachment. Well, let's say you're right. Correct. But, okay, some of them, they only care for themselves. They see nothing else. Well, of course. And you? Do you think you see more? Well, okay, sorry. I'm trying, at least. I have a certain scrutiny. The question is, is there anything you recommend as an educational framework that will take youth and start aim them in the right direction? Or you say, well, this is the state, let them saturate it, and at a certain point they'll come to the point in the heart. No, that's wrong. If I see my kids, say, who are developing in the wrong manner, so what? I'll let them suffer and later on being corrected? What for? Why shouldn't we proceed the remedy to the blows? How? By the right education. By the right education. The wisdom of Kabbalah, what does it tell us? We, in general, can come to final correction through suffering. It's calling its time. I'll wait. I don't care what's written in those clever books, and I don't care about anything. I'll go home. And that's it. We'll roll or somehow. Roll on. We'll come to it also, but through tremendous suffering, crises and wars and whatever. Rather, unless comes the method by which you can mitigate the way, make it short and comfortable accordingly with our man's private life, yeah, whereby you give him education, and you must give your kids education. And why won't you give them what is good? It is called that you must teach a person art, from in Hebrew, omanut. It is as faith. And not to wait. This is what we are doing with our kids. We have courses here for our kids. I went through it with my kids who are already adults. And I see benefit from it. I'm not, my son from the age of 14 was abroad because of a certain allergy that he has, that he cannot be in hot countries. And I was told to send him overseas, and with great sorrow I did. And for one moment I wasn't afraid for him to be detached and what will happen to him. From the age of 14, now he's 37. And this is, and that's it, and also the girls. If you're educating the kids next to you, that they see that you're engaging in something, that they will also engage in it. Not that you give them a computer here, do whatever you feel like, or games and leave me alone. You are bringing the kid, and he sits next to you, and you see that many great people also engage in something that is important for them, and you allow them to engage in it also. That's it, that's education. Tell me, how in those primitive tribes are they doing? They used to take the kids with the adults, and this is how they were educated. This is the natural thing, an example. And from that, the kids are growing. You don't have to preach the morals and watch it or anything. Scare them. Nothing. The kid looks at you and that's it. Hence we're thinking the educational system, where is it? You give your kids example, this is how they grow. Sorry for saying so, but this is what's happening. Later on we say, what's happening? And nothing happens. The kids in those tribes in Africa or in some place, when they grow next to the adults and take example from them for life, they grow correctly, like the adults. That's all. So if you're attracted to correction and you bring the kid next to you, believe me, talk to our kids, you'll see. Talk to them about the purpose of creation, how do you come to it, between a person and his friend, the creator, what's for a creature, this life, everything. Talk to them about life and death, everything. 9, 8 years old kid. Listen to what he tells you. And he tells you naturally. He won't tell you all this trickery of like adults, what they think you want to hear. He'll tell you from within what he feels. This is the future education. We have to develop it. But the main thing here is the example alone. When I started studying with Rabash, my teacher, my son was 7 years old. When I came home, I read, and I sat him next to me, because it was, as he says, that he's impressed by the wisdom of Kabbalah, so talk about it with everyone. So I didn't have anything else to talk about. I said, hey, look what I've got here. I'll let him read next to me. And later on, when I told about it to my teacher, Rabash, and other people were students of Bala Sulam, they're still alive, and they said, well, bring him to see. And I brought him, and they did like a test. They were testing him, and they were happy. He didn't prohibited me. He said, on the contrary, continue, no problem. That was 97 or 1980. It was a long time ago. This is how it is. Meaning, it is permitted, and we see. Rav Kook writes about it, that you can read Zohar with kids from the age of 7 or 9, or don't remember exactly what age he mentioned there. We see also that Kabbalists used to attain spirituality in a very early age, because it is a natural thing. You basically teach him about nature. On the contrary, everything you teach him from our wisdom, so to speak, corporal wisdom, it is artificial. But here you teach him about the desire to receive. How can we receive? How can we raise above it? You talk to him about nature itself. It is the most natural thing. Besides, you give him examples, although we can't quite imagine them correctly, maybe, but examples from the past, when people of Israel were in the land of Israel in those days, in the days of the temple, whereby everyone received spiritual education. Everyone was in spiritual attainment, the whole of land of people of Israel, when they exited from Egypt. So what is the reception of the Torah? This is a revelation of the Creator to the creature. What about the temple? It is called the house of bestowal, where everyone was in that sensation. Till the destruction of the second temple, this whole period from the exodus from Egypt till the destruction of the second temple. Although also it is included in Egypt. That wasn't a detachment from spirituality. From the time of Abraham, when he organized the group, the Babylonians, through Isaac, Jacob, later on the people of Israel in Egypt, the entrance to the land of Israel, 40 years in the desert, later on the time in Israel, the destruction of the second temple, till 2,000 years ago, everyone was in spiritual attainment. And the kids were raised next to the adults in the sensation that it is one world, not two worlds, just one transparent reality. This is how it was. We are now in exile, in detachment, disconnection. Hence, this education existed, and it is a natural education, and let's hope it will return. Without that, we have no future. And we care as much as we care as much as we're capable to develop it. And it isn't simple, because for educational system you need lots of means. So we have a problem. It is we have to show the nation that this is the saving for the new generation. We finished item 16. Oh well, we won't continue now with the text. Yes, more from personal experience, 14-year-old kid, I see that it goes very easily to bring him into Kabbalah. He really asked for it, and reading with him. But there's a guy who's 30 years old that out of a desire to search for ways in Buddhism, Taoism, where there's a lot of elements that are very similar, I fell in it also. And now I know that this is the one and only method. I cannot penetrate and persuade that this is the one and only thing. This is one. And one who's 25-year-old, dad, I'm bored. Doesn't interest me. And I don't know how to cope with it. Only three? Yeah, I have three sons. One is perfect, right? And the other two have difficulties. Well, the Torah spoke about four sons. There's the one who doesn't know how to ask. Well, all right, what shall I tell you? It is not said for no reason about the four sons that's in the story of Passover. The one who finds himself in Buddhism could be that truly he is coming now, still to a state that is slightly raising above the ego, meaning being detached from the ego. By that, he feels himself comfortable, and that's enough for him. That's sufficient for him. You know, it's like if you add knowledge, you add problems. So he lowers himself because all those methods working like that. Well, desire less. Desire less, you'll suffer less. And then you're comfortable and spending your life like that. There's such period that he'll be in it. It could be a whole generation. It could be his whole life will go like that. There's nothing you can do. You next to him, try somehow. But with no pressure, no coercion, no suppression. That's one thing. It could be that he's just orthodox. Someone that has tendency for keeping all kind of such actions. And that brings him pleasure. That brings him some sensation that there's the next world and there'll be a reward for all that I'm doing here. There's a creator. And he said, I have to do it. I do what he wants because the host will pay me, the landlord. That's his religion. That's kind of a compensation, psychological compensation also. And there is such that, as you say, what else? And the other one is just bored by it. And I see that he's suffering a lot. Maybe he's in it. He's truly in that transition. Could be that something's feel good in his life about something. He wants to get married. He wants to set a family. He wants to travel the world. He wants to really tear life apart. Or it is all what we understand from the wisdom of Kabbalah is that you can only present to them the opportunity. Nothing more than that. Everything else is not up to you. These are your kids. Doesn't matter. If they're little, you must educate them. And then you must educate them to what is close to your heart. And Baal HaSulam writes about it in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. Thus, they have to bring the kids to the degree of faith, the degree of bestow, meaning to try and bring him to it. This is called his Torah, is his art. People interpret faith and art in Hebrew sound similar. So people erring in that. And the rest is, that's it. We are in the transitional generation. And for the time being, before we move to the next part of the lesson, we'll sing a song together.
Hallelujah, the joy, the peace. Hallelujah, the love. את יד הקד ובנרץ לשמיים בקו ישיר נפרוץ כנפיים הריאו בקול שזו במחול בכל פינה שבעולם האור יגיע לכולם הריאו לרצון שאיבד החלון בואו נעמוד ביחד נלמד לתת במקום לקחת הללו מילה טובה הללו את הכוונה אל תפריעו למחשבה לבקש את האהבה הללו את הילדים שמחכים לסימנים בכדי לסלול להם את הדרך שתיפתח להם הדלת הריאו בקול זו במחול בכל פינה שבאה האור יגיע לכולם הריאו לרצון שאיבטח חלון בואו נעבוד ביחד נלמד לתת במקום לקחת